tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey, hey, what's going on, y'all? Happy Super Soul Monday.
Back again, another Monday, and it's not just us, as you guys can see, because, Jamie,
we have a special guest. Founder of KRD International consults with organizations on performance, well-being, professional development, engagement, diversity, and dynamic leadership strategies through coaching and programs that provide the tools to transition from a state of overwhelm into a significant life and career. Keandra, her specialty is helping professional women of color actualize their inherent talent and purpose. So give it up for Keandra Doss in the house.
Thank you.
Hey, girl. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. You make me sound good.
Yeah, girl.
I was going to say, you out of breath?
Well, look, I pulled that from your website, so that was my little research. Yes, I am out of breath. No. Thank you guys so much for tuning into this episode of Super Soul Sit Down, which is the after show for Super Soul Conversations by Oprah. And we have such a fun episode today. It's all about dating in light of Valentine's Day around the corner. I ask you, are you settling or are you dating smart? What'd you ladies think about the podcast overall with Greg Berent? He wrote the book, It's Just an Effing Date. What did you think about, you know, the podcast overall?
Overall, I actually liked it. I remember seeing it when it aired on TV. And, you know, during that time, it was like, okay, good. This is a refreshing message of something to give women the power to be able to know when a guy is just not into them. And being able to just stop wasting their time, stop like feeling that they need to perform, but really just taking their power back and owning their worth. And so I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, I agree. What did you think, Haley?
Well, I loved the banter between Greg and his wife. I thought it was just very relatable to listen to because he was easygoing. And then it had me thinking about a lot of things because I've definitely found myself in situations where you know someone's not right for you, but I'm like, is it my ego? Why can't I just accept that I'm not the one he wants and move on? But for whatever reason, it's like we want to attract these things that aren't good for us. And I think that's the reoccurring lesson that I'm still learning, you know, and I don't know why it's such a hard lesson to get because logically you know things, but then emotionally it's where it gets dicey sometimes.
I know. And that's why I love episodes like this because the stuff that we heard on the show, it's stuff that we've heard before and we get it, but you got to listen to it some kind of often because you're right. I don't know. We get stuck in our ego or in the need to be received in a certain way and we start performing and doing all these things and it's like, honey, he's just not that into you.
I think because rejection at the end of the day sucks. So we're trying to, you know, find ways to have to not see that we're being rejected.
Yeah, either that or fill the holes within ourselves that are like vying for whatever we're seeing to fill it up when really, you know, the gates open inward. We got to look within ourselves for what we feel is missing.
Because we're rejecting ourselves when we do that.
Yeah. So, we're already into it. So, it was really fun. And Haley, you had a good idea. Let's start with these myths. There were 6 myths that they came about, you know, when it comes to dating. And let's see. I got these myths written down. So, I'm already at number 2.
Myth number one, I have right here if you need to. Oh, a little cheat sheet.
Myth number I need them to complete my life. That is a myth. And I feel like we were told as women, like, oh, you complete me. Or he talked about, what was the movie? Jerry Maguire.
Yeah.
You know, you complete me. What do you guys think of that myth and that notion?
It's crap.
I love it.
It is. I mean, yeah, I wanted to say another word. But seriously, we have to complete ourselves. Like, when we're not whole coming into a relationship or attempting to get a relationship, there is absolutely no way that I think that you can attract the right partner. I think two whole people coming together is what really defines a healthy relationship. And yeah, there is no other person that can complete you. So yeah.
Can we get a slow clap, Ryan? Yeah, no, it's I agree completely. I actually wrote an article on this about the concept that everyone's looking for their other half. And I think it started off as a cute little saying, but it really turned into seeing people be so dependent on someone else to make them happy. And in my mind, I'm like, okay, that's great. You want people to add to your life, add value, make you happy, all these things. But say it doesn't work out. Are you now half of a person? Like, you need to know who you are to welcome in more love. Otherwise, you're just basically giving someone permission to hurt you.
It's very true. And I think it's like that same concept. If if you are only happy when someone's in your life, mm-hmm. what are you going to do when they're not? Mm-hmm. Fall apart and crumble to pieces? Like, it just, you know, really can't work like that. So I definitely think that whole lie that we've been fed that you complete me and all this and that is definitely a myth, which takes me to myth number two. TMI. Don't go in too aggressive. Like, sometimes there are things that we can do to share too much on a first date. You know, maybe he doesn't need to know that, you know, your auntie was into drugs and all the crazy things that happened you were growing up that made you, you know, there's all these things where it's like...
You can open up without terrifying someone.
Yeah.
Do you have any experience with that? Has a guy ever done that to you?
Oversharing, absolutely. And it's a complete turnoff. Like, who wants to completely hear about every ex that they've had?
Oh,
and
gosh.
Then, of course, like, all the attention is on the ex. It's like... Not even bringing in, like, okay, well, what was your role in the demise of the relationship? Like, you, I'm sure, played a part in why you guys may not be together.
And that would also make me feel like, okay, well, we're still talking about your ex. I don't think you're ready for something healthy here with me.
Right, I'm here to talk about you or learn about you, not who you used to date. So,
do you say that in person, or you just kind of bite your tongue and waiting
until
it's over?
I kind of bite my tongue. I mean, there definitely was one coffee date that I managed to get through, but it was a lot.
You're like chugging
it was
your
a
coffee.
Lot of, like, what did they say in Mean Girls? It was what word vomit. Like, he just kept going on and on and on about the past and the ex and, you know, women and how they are out here. And it was like, okay, but I'm here to get to know you. And
sounds like he needed therapy versus
a day. You're not a therapist.
No.
Yeah, no, that I would just have to agree. What does it say? When to share? Yeah, there's definitely a when to share. I had to learn to find the balance because y'all know me. I mean, I'm all about a date, but like, what are we doing? What's the intention? Why are you even out here? Because I don't like to waste my time. And but I am a little open to get to know people, but I definitely could take from that myth, like, all right, let me let them talk a little bit. He doesn't need to know that I'm dating for marriage this very second. Don't be scared.
I think it's an energy thing, too. Like, you can kind of tell when someone wants you to open up and say those things, but again, it's a balance of, like,
correct.
Yes. And they even said in the podcast, you can say, I'm not looking just to F around. I want a relationship without being like, and I'd really like to have four kids.
Right.
What color do you like? You know, you don't have to get crazy, but you can also say those principles up front.
Yeah.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Those are all great points. So let's discuss myth number three, which I never heard. Looks don't matter. How is that? So in the show, in the podcast, Greg was talking about, or somebody was talking about a date that they went on, and the woman showed up sweaty after workout in her yoga pants and whatever, just like, what up? And from what I know, men are visual creatures. So if anything, before all of these myths, whatever, I'm going to have my looks together.
Oh, she just wanted free dinner, for sure.
Right.
Yeah, but girl, where are you going in sweaty and in yoga pants? Unless the date is a hike on Runyon Canyon, I don't want to see it either.
Yeah, no, I don't know. Like, it's interesting because the coffee date, the same one where it was with the person who definitely was a bit, like, oversharing. I remember he showed up a bit more casual, and I felt like I was the one who was a little bit more put together, even though I wasn't, you know, decked out and after five.
Right.
But I do feel like I put some effort into my appearance. And so, if anything, I think that's more important, just like the presentation, not necessarily the outfit, because I agree, like, there are a lot of different types of first dates that are, you know, more popular, like, you know, the hike. Or, you know, coffee. It's kind of like the pre-date before you get to, you know, the traditional dinner and a movie or, you know, whatever else we've heard.
Just showing you care, you know,
putting
in some effort. I don't know if she was going for the whole guy thing here, you know, sweatpants, chilling with no makeup on. I don't know if she thought that was the approach, but because guys will also say, oh, I love a natural girl, which is great, but I think that, you know, you can change out of your yoga pants the first time you meet someone.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it's important. Yeah, kind of like what you said, Keandra, going to the point. It's about the presentation. It's not that you can't be beautiful without makeup or in the sweats, but what if this is the first time we're meeting and you have some kind of intention about why you're dating, then show up in that. Just like you would never go to a job interview half-dressed. You go to show your best. And I think that's something that we should all do, the men included, when dating. So number three and four kind of go together, because if you're looking too good, what might happen is myth number four is it possible to have sex too early? I really like the answers from this, but I'm going to let y'all chime in on that before I go in.
You take it.
And we take it. Okay. I think that people should be able to do what they want to do, you know, like, and having the intention to just really have a good time, I think things can happen. I've gone through several different stages, let me put it that way, to where there was an absolute, like, no, and then another stage where it was like, you know what, if I'm just out here just having fun and if something happens, then, you know, I guess. But if the intention is dating for marriage, then, you know, there is something to be aware of I guess, like, what the perception might be if you take it there, you know, too quickly. But I also know people who have done that and they've ended up in relationships. So, I don't know if there's really a complete right or wrong. I know what's right for me.
Right.
But, you know, I don't really like the complete generic blanket advice because it doesn't always seem to be the same, especially in this day and age where, you know, women should be able to do whatever and it not just be about, like, trying to impress a man or what is the man going to think.
Correct.
She might that just part. Want it.
Yeah.
I couldn't part. Agree more. And yeah. I've heard back and forth because they did the men on the street commentary and all those men said, if a woman sleeps with me on the first date, I'm not going to take her seriously. But then you hear other stories, people being like, we actually hooked up the first time we met and then it worked and we just kept talking. So I don't think it's like a one size fits all for that type of thing. I think sometimes things are meant to be and... Mm-hmm. You never know.
You never know.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of with that, especially because, back in the day, you know, where I was saying the same thing. I'm just playing. Yeah. I did the only guy who's ever proposed to me, like, we hooked up on the first date, and we were inseparable for 5 years since then.
You've been proposed to?
Yeah, once, yeah.
I'm finding out all of these things yeah. about you tonight. She's a rapper. She's been proposed to. We got things to talk about.
I know. We got things to talk
about.
Yeah,
that's the thing. I think if the chemistry is there, there's not a rule book.
So much chemistry. You know what I mean? And I get where the men are coming from because they like the chase and this, that, and the other. But men listening out there, I can tell you now, the chase is not going to stop if you get sex on the first day. There's plenty of chasing to still do.
It's actually, in a way, more of a test to see if the chemistry is there because if you get the anticipation and the buildup out of the way, then you can see, okay, does this person offer me other qualities that I want to stick around for?
Correct.
You never know.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. So let's move on to
have sex every first date. Yeah. You learned one thing.
Yeah. Girl, that's so funny. Oh, my God. You said have sex every first date. Valentine's Day is coming, girl. You're about to get people in trouble. myth number five. What does this say? I only attract or date losers. People who think that they... this one was interesting. It's basically talking about you attract what you are. Mm. It was kind of saying that if you don't have much going on and you're attracting losers, then that's the thing. But doers attract winners. So kind of just honor your path. What do you got? I don't know how I felt about that one. Because I've been in a space where I've attracted men that I feel like I attracted because, you know, I had a lot of love to give. I had a lot of nurturing to give. And some people who just need that become the vampires to that energy. It wasn't necessarily because I'm broken in the same area he was broken in. Mm-hmm. Or I don't got it going on. So I dated this dude that don't have it going on. I didn't find that I resonated with that one so much. But what do I know? What did you guys think about that comparison?
I didn't resonate with it either.
Yeah.
You know, I understood what the sentiment of it meant. Mm-hmm. But I've attracted people who are absolutely, we have nothing in common. Presentation, you know, just all the different things. It's just like, no, this is not a reflection of me. This just happens to be someone who was attracted mm-hmm. to me. And so I think that sometimes we have to be careful to not always internalize every experience, every date, and think that it is a reflection of who we are or taking something in and making it seem like it's our fault. You know, like, I think that sometimes that is a dangerous thing when we hear, you know, those blanket statements of, well, that's a reflection of who you are, you know, like, it's not always.
Very well said, because that could also start to diminish our own confidence. Yeah. But I actually took it as I 100% agree with what you guys are saying. I see that. But I think the Gemini in me is like, I think what he was saying was that it's kind of what you were saying about knowing your worth. So if you think, you know, if someone's toxic and I'm going to allow them to keep doing that to me, then you're matching that lower level. I think it's like, if you know you're above this, you're not a loser. That's why you're not getting out of this type thing.
Yeah, no, I agree with both points. I they're both valid. I love it. Makes sense to me.
And it just goes to show what a big conversation dating is. Yeah. You know, it's not that simple.
There's so many layers and lovers.
So many factors.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I definitely agree. Well, I'll get to the last myth before we dive into this other stuff here. And I want you guys to stick around to the end of the show because we have our not only news and gossip in our Super Soul poll, but our Own Your Soul moment where we talk about the things we've learned and how we're going to own our soul and elevate and, you know, allow what we've learned to transform us this week. So you could be thinking about what how you're going to own your soul this week. So the myth number six is, ugh, I hate this. Men are intimidated by me. Men can't handle my success. I agree completely with what they came up with this. And it's just kind of like, if he can't handle me, he ain't the one for me because I'm only getting better. So I don't even bother with, oh, he can't handle my success. It's totally fine.
Yeah.
It's my fine. New favorite hashtag, Oprah said, weak ass men. Hashtag
weak ass men.
WAM. She's so funny. She but did. It's yeah. true. We will find people and like energy suckers. We're going to find people all around that are not right for us, but it's just knowing your worth to be able to say, okay, nice to meet you, but I need a guy that is not threatened by my confidence, but wants me to be more confident, wants to build, and wants that to be reciprocated back. That's a healthy partnership. Not someone you shouldn't be competing with someone that claims they want the best for you.
Yeah, or feel that you have to shrink.
You correct. Know, exactly.
I feel that you have to shrink for
talk
someone
about this
who,
a lot.
Yeah,
I feel
who
like
can't
you need to
handle
dim your light.
Exactly.
Shine, baby, shine.
There
shine.
You go, playing down who you are. And I like how Greg, the author of the book, he authored the book with his wife. It's just an effing date. He kind of called it out. He's like, there's a lot of weak-ass men out there, and what has happened to the dating world? And it was nice to hear a man say that, because, you know, when women say it, it sounds like we're complaining, or why do guys, blah, blah, blah. But truly, though, what do you guys, how do you guys think technology, because they spoke about this in the episode, has taken away from the need to interact and has given men a lower tolerance for, what do you call it, rejection? Like, do you think technology has played a role in the kind of cheap-ass dating scene we have going on right now?
I absolutely do.
Yeah.
Well, it's just we have so many options now. You're swiping. You don't have to put that much effort. You can ghost people easily. You're not faced with a confrontation that you would be in person. So if you're not immediately getting a connection or maybe you see one bad picture, you're on to the next. We're not giving people chances because we just have so much variety and we don't have to be real men, real women, talk to each other face-to-face and it's kind of like if you don't have the consequence, then you just keep doing it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Haley. And one of the things I was actually going to say, I wish that there was actually more in terms of dealing with the weak-ass man. I wish that it wasn't in the last, like, 5 minutes of the podcast.
Right, because she was onto something.
Yeah, because it was like, yes, ding, 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 you're onto something. Yeah. And, you know, I find that this conversation, especially when we talk about dating, it's often very unbalanced. So much of just the perspective and the advice, it is always geared towards women. And I understand a portion of that because, you know, we are usually the main consumers of the books and, you know, we'll easily sit down and listen to a man, you know, have whatever it is that they need to say about what we need to do to get better. But what is it that the men are being fed? What is it that they need to actually do to improve themselves and to grow and to be able to match, you know, the level of shine, you know, that we're coming with, you know? So that I think that that is, definitely when he brought that up, it was something of like, wow, I wish that this was brought up a little bit earlier and that there was room to really, you know, delve into.
That's
it a bit more.
Really great point. And I definitely believe there's a lot of great men out there. Mm-hmm. But when you think about a lot of the guys' coaching classes, a lot of them are actually like pickup based. Like, how do you approach a girl? It's just about like show her you're confident, but it's not really diving into how to be a great man once you're in the relationship.
Exactly.
Correct. And then not only that, but you can't just tell someone to show your confidence. Like, if you don't have it, now you're leaving that person to think, well, I think confidence looks like this.
Well, they're teaching them how to you know, play a game. Like, the movie Hitch, which, one of my favorite movies. But, you know, what? How he just told people to go up and be this cool guy. But it's just...
But that's what I'm saying. That's not authentic confidence. That's the picture of confidence that we think we see. But how does that really speak to each individual man and allowing them to play up on, you know, the great parts about them that they actually have that make them different, unique, authentic, and fun? How do we have the conversation with men to show them how to be cool with showing that, because that's what we want. We do. We want you guys. Women, we want men. Don't let all this, we got this, independence, and all of that fool you. Like, we want to be with men and connect with men, and we want to see you guys do your best. So if there's any men watching, listening to us rant and ramble, please comment and let us know what you think. This brings me to a point which was kind of funny, is they talked about dating a man's potential, not his reality. If you've been in that position, raise your hand. There's like three hands up here. So what do you guys think about dating for a man's potential and not his reality? What do you think the pitfalls can be, and what do you think the benefits can be, if any?
I think the pitfalls can definitely be falling into that, like, that thing of how we nurture and being the picker-upper and basically having to constantly build that man and not realizing that once you start, you're going to have to continue. If they don't have it within them to get their lives together, to build and to do whatever it is that they need to do to either match or just grow in general, that is always going to be your role. And so
I just got tired right now.
Yeah. So it's like, if you're not good with doing that through the duration of the relationship, however long that may be, then don't start, you know?
And it's up to women for us to understand that and see it and walk away. And not walking away like we're leaving him there or we'll never be able to find someone else. But honey, if it starts this way and this is not what you want, you need to realize it ain't gonna change. Yep. Maybe it will. Cross your fingers. But I definitely wouldn't put full weight on, oh, I can make him better, I can change him, if we just work on this, blah, blah, blah. What you see, what you get up front, expect that 2 years down the line. Not with no growth, but just expecting, you know, having to deal with the same things.
Well, it's sad because I think we come from a place of believing in them, and we want them to be the people that we believe they can be. But my favorite expression is, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. Just like you said, it's not enough for you to want it. They have to be the ones to want change. Otherwise, you will just be waiting on them to be ready, and that slows you down.
Yeah.
It's true. And not only that, I loved how Greg... See, this is why I like when men get involved in the conversation, because he was like, we could talk about how weak the dates have been and how weak men have been, but then he also pros a question like, women, we want you. When did you stop remembering that we're the ones that want you? You hold the power. Like, we are here to pursue you. We want you, blah, blah, blah.
Sometimes
what do you think?
We don't feel like we do anymore. I think because of social media and because a lot of times it's just like, on to the next hot girl, you don't feel like they care as much anymore.
Yeah.
I don't think men typically act as they did about presenting a nice date, and I want to take you somewhere special. I feel like a lot of guys just don't really put that kind of effort in anymore.
But they were saying that men will do, he even admitted, like, men are only going to do what we allow them to do or not to do. So I think as women, if we are going to take some kind of stand together, it would be in, you know, turning up the value just a little bit. Because then it would have no choice but to raise the volume of the whole dating scene if we turn up on, you know, what's important for us.
Yeah.
I love that idea. We should get... We should start a Facebook group.
Yeah.
Raise the bar.
Yes. Seriously. Because, if we accept something less, then, you know, then that's what we get. So.
And bottom line, I think if someone cares about you, you'll know. Yeah. And I hate admitting that to myself, because there have been guys that I'm like, oh, you know, maybe they do. Maybe they're just bad texting. Nope. I know. If a guy likes me, I will know. And if I have to wonder, then unfortunately that's my answer.
And that's powerful. I know that's something that I had to learn, and it took quite some time.
It sucks. It hurts.
I wanted to make the, you know, a big deal out of the little things, and it just wasn't working anymore. So definitely, I think that's such a great point. I think we covered these points so well. I'm just kind of scanning my notes to make sure we got all the good stuff. Oh, he did. There was another question he asked. Let's see. If you've ever dated somebody that you weren't initially attracted to. I remember when I started doing that. That didn't work either. My friends would see me and be like, girl, that's not really your type.
Although I did like what they were talking about, as your type can change over time. And I do agree with that. Like, your the things that, you know, that you start to look for may not be so physically, like, they may not have to have a six pack, you know, like, it's like, all right, I'll deal with, you know, with the two, or
I like the two, the 2 date rule, because I struggle with that myself. I'm like, they're so good on paper, like, what am I missing here? But then I believe in chemistry. I know when I click with someone, and it doesn't mean that I'm going to, you know, fall in love. But I just know if I'm sitting there thinking about what to say next, it's not there. Yeah, so I'm going to give myself the 2-date rule, but I've even tried the 3-date and I'm like, why am I doing this? Yeah. I know that I don't like you. And the guy even put his hand on my waist, just like friendly, and my body rejected
him.
I'm like, there we go.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing with that too is to trust yourself, you know, like to know, like, look, I'm just not attracted. It's good to be open and I'm all for that. But you know when you're attracted to someone, you know, like we always know, like when we can feel the butterflies, when we actually have the interest to maybe put on a different lipstick or get a little bit more like cute, and you know what I mean? Like,
you're excited to see the text. That's how I know. If the name shows up on my phone and I feel nothing, I'm like, damn it. Okay. I don't like him.
Yeah, no, I know. And you're right with the trust yourself, because I remember a very blatant time in my life where I saw this guy. He liked me. It was whatever. And I remember he had said something one day and I was like, I would never date this guy. And what did I do? I dated him. And 6 months later, he dumped me. It's the only time I've ever been dumped. And I was like, I didn't want him anyway.
Always
I should have listened to myself, because I knew we were not the best.
I didn't even like you. My sister has a few stories like that too.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. So trusting yourself. Ladies, I think we learned so much. It was so fun to go over this stuff again.
I knew this was going to go by like this.
Yeah. So definitely we want to jump into a little bit of news and gossip. We want to let you know where to find the book and hop into our Super Soul poll.
Gossip.
Yeah.
So clearly we could talk about this forever, but the best thing you can do is hear it from Greg himself. And we provided the Amazon link for you so you can go check out his book and get educated, because there's a lot of questions about these topics, clearly. So we have the picture right there. It's just a beep date by Greg and Amira. And yeah, really good stuff. Obviously, you can hear their banter from the podcast. So
yeah, I can take dating advice from a married couple.
Yeah, I mean, they seem to know, right? And they're credible. And they're honest about it's not always easy, too. I love hearing that. I don't like to hear that people are like, oh, we never fight. Like, no.
Yeah, it's
it needs to be realistic.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, that's so good. Thank you so much for sharing. And let's get that poll going. I love that you do these.
So we talked about this week falling in love with people's potential, and a whopping 88% guys says yes, they have. 12% says no. So at least we're not alone. But I do, again, I think it starts from wanting the best for someone. But then we have to find the line where are we now taking away from ourselves for someone else? And I think that's when you know you have to walk away, when your light is being dimmed to help someone else shine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Wow, 88%. I wonder, too bad we don't have like a gender reveal on that. I don't know if it's like men. I'm just curious. Because I have heard from men, you know, they really like this woman and, you know, they thought they could help her. And
I did have a few guys respond saying, yep, be careful with that one.
Yeah. So. Mm. There's been some guys who've been super burned by some women out here who just kind of ran right over the opportunity to either grow with this man or just take him for all he's got. So
I do want to say that too. I know we're a group of three women sitting here, but it's vice versa. Like women can also burn men just the same.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
it's absolutely. Keeping that open communication absolutely. As you go.
Yeah,
that's why we want everybody to just do their own self-work so you can have the, it starts with a D. My mind is slow. What is it? Discernment. Sorry, I'm slow today, y'all. So you can have the discernment. We should all be working on ourselves so we have the discernment to navigate these things in a healthy way. We should be able to see kind of up front what it is that we're dealing with, and also have the strength and courage to walk away, even if we're super lonely or, you know, really want to be in a relationship. It's never worth it to jump into the wrong one, you know? Maybe it's also an opportunity for us to look at, okay, I really want to be in a relationship, but why? And then break that down and see where we can kind of fill that stuff in for ourselves so we're in a healthier place to find a relationship and don't just meet the person who seems to exemplify what we lack. Now we're chasing the wrong person because we never filled up on the thing we felt we were missing, you know? Okay, I just want to get that out. And yes, so that brings us to our special segment, Own Your Soul.
Your journey to become more inspired and connected to the deeper world around us starts right now.
So, this is the Own Your Soul moment, and Keandra, we'll start with you. Oh, yeah. And so first, before we go into, you know, what you're going to take from this podcast or what you've learned and how you're going to evolve through the week, do you want to share with people what you were doing yesterday? You had some pretty great stuff going on.
Wow. So, yes. So, over the weekend, I received an award for Entrepreneur of the Year. It's for
amazing.
And yeah, thank you. Thank you. this amazing organization called... ladies, it's called the Love Awards, but Love, it stands for Ladies Operating Very Effectively. And this was the fifth year where the awards, they basically recognize and honor those extraordinary men and women who are doing things in the community that may or may not ever get, you know, certain types of recognition. And so for me, it was huge. Definitely something that I don't take lightly, something I'm still celebrating. So yeah, it was a great weekend, and I could go on and on and on, and I won't.
That's
amazing.
Yeah, it was great.
And your Own Your Soul moment can be anything that you got from the week. It doesn't have to be about dating. So what do you want to do moving forward with the rest of the week that is just kicking it up a notch for you as far as evolving as your own person?
Wow. Well, just coming and just being on the heels of, you know, such an amazing weekend, especially for something that taken a lot of courage for me to start. I never thought that I would have a business that started from a place of me just sharing my story and sharing how I grew and the different things that I do along the way to make sure that I keep that evolution going. And so to be able to be sitting in a place 2.5 years later to be witnessed and honored in such a big way, in a public way, it has basically given me, I guess, just more of just refreshing me and letting me know, like, just keep going. Don't stop. Don't stop being who you are. Believe in, you know, that small nudge and just those things that have been deposited in me early on, and just in terms of just the ideas and things to create and things to share and things to host, you know, the ways that I can help people to not dim myself and to not discredit that the impact is being left on someone. So yeah, just to keep doing my work so that that work can help the next person. So
yeah, I love that. That's perfect. Keep going is, it's just two words, but it's so loud and powerful. That is enough right there.
Yeah.
What do you think, Haley? What are you going to do to own your soul?
Keandra, your voice is like helping me about what I'm about to say, because I'm just keeping it simple. I really want to just be calm, and I'm always forcing things and rushing things. So I'm just going to practice what I've been preaching to myself of just chilling out, and I got to trust that my timeline is very different than the man upstairs sometimes, and I just got to go with it. And I'm rushing around. I'm going to crash into walls, so I'm just going to let it live, do the best I can, and trust.
Yeah, it's funny. I got this message probably 2 times in the last month, and it was a reminder that even after the caterpillar, you know, becomes a butterfly, that it takes, I think, 5 days. It takes quite some time for the butterfly's wings to actually dry. Mm-hmm. You don't just become a butterfly and, like, fly out the cocoon and you're done. You need a minute in this new side, this new energy, these new revelations. So, yeah, maybe it is a time just to rest for a second. Mm-hmm. Let your wings dry. Get used to the different air. You're on a different, you know. So that's something that I've been hearing lately. But I guess for me to own my soul this week was actually kind of what I was just talking about before we jumped into this special segment. I was in a space where I was thinking, like, oh, I need a man. And not even like that, but my dad, he was my discipline. My dad would tell me, you know, sometimes I feel like I need somebody to be my accountability partner and just get me on out there. But what I realize is I have that within myself. So it's just time to dial up my divine masculine just a little bit and get the things done that I need to get done. I don't need someone texting me, calling me, or laying in my bed telling me when to get up or whatever the case, you know. So that's what I'm going to do with that. Thank you guys so much for watching. Please tune in same time, same place next week, and catch us for the after show. My name is Jamie Alexander, and you can find me on Instagram at Jamie Alexander.
My name is Keandra Doss, and you can find me on Instagram at Keandra_D.
And I'm Haley J. You can find me at HeyJ, H-A-Y-J _ Instagram and Twitter. Be sure to vote on this polls every Sunday. We'll see you guys next Monday.
On behalf of our PHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.